The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And once again, good afternoon, folks. You're listening to the National Intel Report, hour number two, on this Wednesday, July 6, 2022. Richard Carey here with guest James in Vancouver. And we are taking calls this hour. We'd appreciate it being on topic and preferably directed with questions directed at our guest, to our guest. We have Bob in Utah. And Bob, if you want to try, we may have better sound now. If you want to restate your overall question there.
Yes, I had it on speakerphone. Am I clipping now?
You sound good, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I was asking James about uracil, which is the normal base in RNA, human RNA, is replaced in this nanoparticle with something called pseudouracil. And when I looked it up, I came up with pseudouridine. And I just wondered what that is, if he's heard of it, and what the implications might be.
I haven't heard of pseudouracil, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't exist here. I'm just trying to look it up here. Here we go. In other words, they've substituted something.
Right. So now this Captain.
Yes, pseudouridine. It's an isomer of nucleoside uridine in which the uracil is attached by a carbon-carbon instead of instead of a nitrogen-carbon glycoside bond. Sure, it exists. Yeah. And maybe they're using it.
Well,
supposedly
it increases the duration of the effect on this thing. To put it,
yeah, could well be true.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't know.
No one has told us what the sequencing of this mRNA is. Nobody has told us, so this is, I would say, unconscionable. Go ahead.
Right. Well, of course, yeah. We have no idea what's going to happen. But the reason I called, and, you know, it's great to have someone who understands DNA. I just, you know, recently started learning about it, and the people think that it's going to change your DNA. Well, changing your DNA is really like the Marvel Comics Fantastic Four origin story, where gamma rays changed their DNA and gave them superpowers. And I just wanted to people to understand that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, since it only gets into this, changes the DNA of the cells it infects, you know, when you have a child, you know, it's gone.
Well, again, I would say that the possibilities are slightly more possible than impossible because, again, because of the nature of the size of this mRNA. You said 4,000 nucleotides. Is that correct?
It's not right, 4,200.
Well, I would say that that's a very serious, and then thinking about the concentration, how many, how much, what percentage of is in the injection, that is to say, molecular weight being what it is, and you say, well, one mole of something is so many milligrams or whatever, and then all you would need is a nanogram of this stuff, and you still have a large population. And it's going all through the body. Again, the polymer polyethylene glycol is helping to vector it across the cell walls. I don't use polyethylene glycol. I use something else. I would say that I'd say we're in for a real and again, because of the empirical evidence, people dropping dead or all of these things, neoprene in the blood, some kind of polymerization indicates to me that it's having very, very serious effects on enzyme production, all that kind of thing. See, you can't ignore that. So what other effects is it having? This is the question.
Well,
if it can do that.
Right, that's all unknown. Obviously, a male has, like, I guess, millions of sperm cells that are gone every several days, right?
Well,
but a woman, supposedly all her egg cells are at birth. Am I right? Do you know about that?
Well, no, I don't. But I'm saying that this will carry from one generation to the next. So, it's not going to affect mom and dad at this point. But
in pregnancy, the infected cells would go through the to the fetus. No, they weren't in the DNA. Yeah. Now I'm getting ahead of myself.
The only miracle I can work is curing cancer. That's all I can do. So,
hey, listen. While we still have Bob in Utah on the line, I just wanted to run something else for both of your responses. I mean, I brought up Dr. Carrie Madej earlier and the research she's done implying nanotechnology regarding the hydrogel, the potential to send and receive messages. And then she also was hearing claims from a lot of these people that there was a networking being built inside the people who took these shots. And it sounds like the one description, number two in that top seven, in that seven list of adverse events, weird, long, rubbery, fibrous, blood clots, blood structure, biostructures also referenced. But what Dr. Carrie Madej has been presenting, take it or leave it, and she gives her sources. And this nanotechnology research, do you think this is all within the realm of possibility that these people are toying with the human race to such an extent, James? And I'd like to hear from Bob after that as well.
Well, okay, so what you want to do is you want to get a hold of people who've actually taken these shots, and you want to do blood work and analysis on what the effects are if you can measure them or you can find them. Okay, so she's a doctor and she has a license to do this. Or better yet, if she can get a hold of the so-called vaccine and put it in something like a nuclear magnetic resonance machine in order to get some idea of what's going on, you see. But, you know, I'll tell you what, a lot of people in the bench chemistry business simply inject the cat or dog or mice or whatever with what they have, and then they just see what happens. And isn't that what they're doing to us? They're just treating us like animals in the laboratory.
Bob, would you like to comment on that, sir?
Yes. Well, I remember clearly when you had Terry McDay and you received that backlash. And unfortunately, Richard, I was not a fan of that Terry McDay video. She conflated a number of technologies, ID chips and fluorophore technologies, and I was not impressed with what she said.
So she, it seemed like she was all over the place, and it seemed like sensationalism to be throwing all that in.
Well, I don't think her motives are nefarious at all. I think that, you know, like I said, she was conflating numerous technologies that are not in this mRNA nanoparticle. It's just a, as James knows, it's a molecule of nucleic acid. In an envelope of cholesterol and acidic lipid with polyethylene glycol so it doesn't stick together. And that's it. I've never heard any evidence that there's graphene oxide in it that I could, you know, bookmark. And James, have you?
Again, based on my experience, I would have to say the higher the molecular weight of what you're injecting somebody with, and it's an mRNA, the more complications you're going to have. You're just going to have complications, and you're probably, I believe you're going to have splicing, okay? Could be just like that. They know how to do that already. They've done that before. Okay? So I think for these people, the sky is the limit. Trying to test things. Because that's what they do.
Well, my question is, if graphene oxide is in this Pfizer gene therapy, how would it be detected?
Well, apparently it will react with electromagnetic waves and re-emit them. Okay, so it will act as a receiver and a transmitter. Okay, that's how it works. It's like a rocket radio. I used to have one when I was a child. Just clip it to something metallic. You didn't need any batteries at all. It would pick up on the electromagnetic waves, and you get amplification on its own, you see. That's what the graphene is. It's got free electrons. Well, that's how it can do it.
The issue of a gas spectrometer, what is it, gas liquid chromatography gas spectrometry. And then there's gas. Okay, you know about those. I just learned about them, and because they come up in issues of urine testing with the FAA test people. So tell me a little about that, if you could. I appreciate it.
Well, okay, so the one I'm most familiar with is the one that I had done to me, which is taking arterial blood out of my forearm, spinning it in a high-speed centrifuge and throwing it in a computer to isolate for virus. I actually had that test done to me in 2002 in Taiwan, looking for SARS. That's one way to look for things. So you take a blood sample and you're going to put it in a, you know, a centrifuge, right? to separate things out in terms of weight. And that computer, all of these devices in Taiwan, by the way, are made in Japan. And in less than half an hour, they knew whether or not I had a virus in my blood or not. As it was, they sent me home. Even, I had a high fever, but they just sent me home because they've got that analytical equipment available. So why people use the PCR test is beyond me, but you know, this is how these people do it. Right? PCR test wasn't necessary. So you go for arterial blood. Right.
All right, well, let's try to go to another caller. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
I appreciate your
call. I've been on too long. Thanks.
Yes, sir. I should preempt this, though, pointing out this caller had previously been banned from the National Intel Report by the late John Stadmiller. That would be back in autumn of 2020. And it was related to COVID somewhat, but I'm going to go against my maybe better judgment. I'll leave it in your capable hands, James. But we have Dave in New York. We have Dave in New York on the line. And Dave, what would you like to ask James?
Hello, Richard. No, I was not banned from the National Intel Report. What John said was,
I could swear you were.
Don't let him call back, Mike. Don't let him call back into my show again. That's what. So I was.
He didn't
want to talk to me again, and I didn't get to talk to him again before he passed. So it's unfortunate. I pointed out something which people were making a mistake on, and I think people realize that's all past now. But there were a number of things brought up here. This uridine and uracil. Uridine is a nucleotide or nucleus, and a nucleoside is the uridine. It has a ribose sugar, a five-membered ring sugar moiety attached to it. And the problem, what they did was they got sequences from China to make this mRNA and the DNA that goes into the vaccines. And they included in there a pseudo-uridine, which is a different structure than uridine. It's a lot like it, but it's a little different. Now, being a different structure, it's all, when you're dealing with enzymes, it's a structure, a function relationship, it's lock and key mechanisms, and you're slowing down the degradation of the molecule in the body by putting foreign substances in. The pseudouridine has a different structure, and it makes the mRNA stay around longer. Now, I believe Dr. Kevin Stillwagon, he's amazing in a lot of the stuff he comes out with, and Bob mentioned him. I believe he was the one who I first heard that the sequence homology of the RNA and the DNA was like maybe 85% different or similar. It was 85% similar to that of the natural spike sequence in SARS-CoV-2, okay? So that's really significantly different. The Chinese are giving us a different spike to try to induce antibodies. And why is that? I don't know why. I can't say why. But I think James brought up the very interesting point of trying to transhumanize people. And then the whole question is, how can these little changes, the small amount of DNA and RNA or the amount that we receive, how significant of a change is there going to be in the people that are vaccinated? And I don't know the answer to that. But
the impression I had is that it's as far as the reverse transcription being referred to, for example, I mean, if it's telling it how to program in a different way, you don't really need a large amount, I would think, to achieve that. But I don't know. First, let's let James refer to this.
Well, you got a lot of cells in the body. You're not modifying all of them, perhaps. I don't know. James, what's your idea? Yeah.
I was checking this the other day, and to get a new species might be, say, something like 0.1% of the DNA. I just want to get this back up again if I can. New species. It doesn't have to be much. But
it would have to get into the somatic cells or the reproductive cells, really. And once it does that, you've got one sperm cell modified gives a fully modified new being. Correct. You're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All I need to do is get it into the reproductive cells and the eggs and that kind of thing, and let it sit there and see what happens. It depends on the kind of molecular force that mRNA is capable of having. That is to change the ordering of the DNA that's already present, you see. And I'll give you an example, which is, it's a cop-out example, but I'll do it again. If all dogs are derived from wolves, okay, and that's what they say, then how was it and who was it and when was it that they changed the DNA of a wolf in such a way to get a dog, you see? And this goes back to...
Sure, the behavior is rather different.
But it was done, if they claim, if that's true, that claim, that all dogs, their DNA originates in wolves, well, nobody's asked the question how and when and why was it changed, you see? And who did it?
Yeah, right? I don't know what research there is on that. One of the things that people have been saying a lot about the vaccine from the beginning, and even Sherry Tenpenny was coming out with this, and I think even Dr. Michael Yeadon, that it seemed to me they were trying to say that everybody who got the vaccine would die from it. And this is something that Jeff Rentz is pretty much pushing, and I think it's rather extreme. And your suggestion of merely transhumanizing people and doing a designed experiment, you know, they've done a dosing study, as shown by Steve Kirsch and others, that some mm-hmm. batches, you know, had huge various effects, and that the different right. companies put these out in sequential times. So, yes, maybe they are dosing people to see how much they can tolerate, and some people will die. That was an excellent point you made.
Yeah.
Some people will be affected, and others won't, and
right.
it probably depends on their DNA makeup. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
You see, this is the thing. They've got very powerful microscopy, and they've got very powerful computers. And that's exactly what you need for this business, is powerful microscopy and the ability to get right into the DNA and work on it, and at the same time, computers for counting and sequencing, because there's billions of different sequences and billions of particles in those sequences.
Well, we do have a lot of conflicting. We have a lot of conflicting opinions, even at RBN. I mean, like Tom in Utah. I've spoken to him privately as well as on the air. He questions whether anyone actually has genetic engineering technology. You know, he thinks that it's an exaggerated claim. But I don't know. Do you have another question to direct at James, Dave?
Well, yeah. I also wanted to comment on the amyloid plaques, because Jeff Rentz has brought this out regarding. I'm getting a call in. It might be important, but the amyloid plaques are similar to Alzheimer's, and what happens in mad cow, they're caused by prions. And Jeff Rentz and they've even demonstrated this. Look on their site. Maybe I'll call in later and tell you. I better take this call, Richard. Sorry about
that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, if you want to comment on what Dave had mentioned, James, to the best of your ability.
Yeah, the amyloid plaques. You need special technology to get rid of that. You would need to saturate those cells with nitro, with the right kind of nitro to blow that stuff off. And the Alzheimer's, again, is degeneration of neuron tissue. And, of course, these plaques. I mean, you have plaques for sclerosis. You have plaques for hardening of the arteries, which is a form of sclerosis. And you need to energize the DNA in such a way that it can throw out the right kind of immune system responses to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we have a couple other...
That's how you... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, a couple other callers the line. Alan in North Dakota. Welcome, Alan. Do you have a question for James?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Listen, whenever Dave from New York calls, I just hang up. You know... His voice is very annoying, and I think Statman was very right when he said, "No, don't call again, Dave." And if you're listening, I think you need a paper route, and you know, don't call again. You're annoying, and you remind me of a smart aleck kid in grade school. You know, he thinks he knows everything. So, anyway, that's my comment. So, good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. And we'll go to Samuel in California. Hello, Samuel. Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
What if between the dog and the wolf, the DNA was changed by the mutual respect and love between the wolf and the man? And have you ever read anything about Burkhard Heim?
No, sir, I haven't.
I think you'd love him, James.
What's the name again, Burkhard? Yeah?
Burkhard Heim, the German phonics, so E-I-M. He was a boy protege. He became of age about 1943. I guess he was 18. He was enlisted in the German army. And he came up with a thermo. He was basically a kid taught chemist. And by the time he was that age, he came up with a thermite. So he immediately got transferred to the tutelage of Heisenberg.
Yeah.
And he told Heisenberg 10 years before the hydrogen bomb, that's how a bomb is supposed to be built. And, of course, Heisenberg didn't love Hitler too much, so Heisenberg was probably the best physicist there was, but he wasn't telling Hitler too much. Anyway, Heim went on to be one of the early quantum physicists, and I think he only died in 2000 and something.
2001.
He's an incredible story just to read. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, 2001. He died. I see it here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Please.
He's such an incredible story, and I think he had to create his own mathematics and everything in order to create what he saw in the universe to adjust Einstein's theories to actually make them work, etc. Mm-hmm. And I think proving out his technology is very easy compared to a lot of other theory, but I think the powers that be have done it and are using it against us. And I think when you talk about those hundreds of millions of tons that came down in those towers, well, that could have been his theories.
Yes, we'll
have to hear your response after the bottom of the hour. We'll be back, folks. National Intel Report. What goes up
must come down. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is.
Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the guru and the trailer and the full course dress. We got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM. We got the exploitation.com. We got the pages.
And we are back, folks. Here on the National Intel Report, Richard Carey with guest James in Vancouver, right here on republicbroadcasting.org. And we have a couple other callers in the queue, but James, if you could respond to Samuel, please, sir.
Well, yeah, I think Burkhard Heim probably had a lot of really good ideas, and I would venture to say they were suppressed, okay? And I suppose I'm somewhat curious about how you found out about this gentleman. Would I be able to... Are you involved in physics as well?
Long story, but to say a little bit more about him and have more people look into him, he's difficult to find anything on him other than German.
Samuel, I think you missed part of James's question. He asked, are you involved in physics as well, sir?
No, I'm not. I'm the seeker of those things that don't make any sense in this world. It's a big pile. It's like, who built the pyramids? How did they get them done? How do they mine and move blocks to, 100 tons that we can't move today with cranes, et cetera, you know?
Well, that's a science in itself, you see. because those are valid questions. So I thank you for telling me about this gentleman, because I have a friend from Germany. I'm going to ask him about this Burkhard Heim, see if he's heard of him.
I have a personal theory about him, James. He forgave the man who put him in pain for the rest of his life. And I think God used him to take a look at how he built this universe. I really believe that's true, if you read enough about him. Because in his equations, he does include God.
All right. Well, okay, thanks kindly for telling me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Samuel. And let's go to, we have a fellow RBN host on the line for you, James. We have Lauren from Ohio. That would be from the Saturday 3 p.m. Central RBN show, Revelation Revolution. Hello, Lauren. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey. Hey, James. I'm calling in to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I miss you so much. You're on the right track.
I was going to ask you guys, have you ever looked at that mycoplasma paper that I keep asking people to look at? It's mycoplasma, the linking pathogen. Okay.
Mycoplasma,
the linking pathogen in neurosystemic diseases by Professor Donald Scott. What'd you think?
I looked at it. Well, you know, my doctor, I had a Hungarian doctor 50-some years ago who told me about that.
And really?
I said, what about cancer? He says, well, they think they found the answer. I said, what's that? He says, it's a cell without a barrier, without a skin.
And you know why the skin gets stripped off when you have mycoplasma? Because that's how it reproduces itself. It sucks up the cholesterol on this cell wall. And that's why if it's a red blood cell, now the cell's not flexible. It can't get into the capillary. If it's in your beta cells in your brain, now you don't produce dopamine anymore. You have Parkinson's. If it's in your pancreas, the beta cells in your pancreas, now you don't produce insulin anymore. You have type 1 diabetes. So it all comes down to a pathogen. And the cool thing about this paper is that it explains to you that the government that you're trusting to help you solve this mystery problem, SADS, and, oh, gee, we're so confused, they're the ones that built this. So it doesn't mean that the doctors down the line understand what's going on, because they don't. As a drug rep, my dad was a doctor. They believed what we told them as drug reps. We believed what the company told us as drug reps. You know, so if you're passing lies, it's all useless anyway. But the point is, there's a real pathogen. Mm-hmm. Yes, it really will kill you. Yes, you better keep your immune system up, and you better deactivate this weapon, because it is a weapon, and it is real. Mm-hmm. So
this mycoplasm then can destroy the DNA in a cell. This is what you're getting at, right? In other words,
interfere. Well, no. The mycoplasma paper is from 2001. This is stuff that they were doing before.
What they figured out was
if you use zinc ionophores like tetracycline or hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, you can stop this item, this mycoplasma, from replicating inside the cell. It takes over your organelles in your cell and makes copies of itself. So what they do, that's why people get better in like 6 hours after they take the ivermectin. Now they're not dying of COVID. Now they can breathe. Well, so why aren't we giving this to the patients? Because they don't want to fix the patients. They're killing you. They're giving you cancer. They're giving you MS. They're giving you all manner of diseases, all caused by this same piece of DNA that they've made into a crystalline form. Merck Sharp and Dohme made it into a crystal, and they've put it in. You know, I'm looking at the part where it's talking about using the Brucella and the mycoplasma to make Mad Cow. They did that. They hired Ishii Shiro, World War II medical doctor. He was commissioned as a Japanese Army general, and they said, you either, you know, take a job with us and not be tried as a war criminal, or you stay in Japan and we'll try you as a war criminal. Of course, he took the job.
Right.
So we brought the Japanese who made Mad Cow. That's what he was brought over for, to show them how to make Mad Cow. They made it in the Four tribe. And so they brought him over. Same thing with Mengele. He brought his mycoplasma stuff over to America. So they've been working on it. Now, Dr. Sherry Rogers, she did the Power Hour show March to April every Friday, second hour from in 2020. And she said at the time, that bioweapon has AIDS, MERS, SARS, Ebola, and the Sensation 1 protein spike, which has 41 epitopes on it. 27 of them look like the human female reproductive system. So what happens is this pathogen gets in there, and sometimes the mRNA, that's instructions for your cells. If it can get into the cell, yes, it will alter that DNA. It will say, I'm giving you a new set of instructions, build this. So if it's building plaques, the amyloid plaques, that's what you're building. If it, it depends on your genetics. That's the other thing about this. It's not just that there's saline in some shots and a heavy dose of mRNA in another one and different varying amounts of graphene and hydroxide and whatnot. But my point is they are testing on the people because they don't know what the results will be. But they do understand that, yes, they're hacking your DNA. They're seeing what it'll do. And it is contagious by touch. It's made to penetrate the skin. If you bump into other people, you are passing the spike protein, even though you're not, you know, passing the COVID itself, and then the corona itself, you're passing the spike protein. That's what does the damage. So, you know, the bottom line is, yes, it's real. I mean, but it's, again, 99.997% survival rate in children. So why are you giving a three-year-old shot to children that all of them live through it? We just have to get to the part where we understand they're trying to kill us on purpose. Not an accident. They're not confused. They knew exactly what it would do.
Right. So the there is genetic information in the mycoplasma. This is my question. It's a DNA.
Well, yeah, the mycoplasma is a combination of Brucella bacterium, which is cow arthritis, and Visa virus, which is sheep AIDS. The mutated combination is called mycoplasma. Merck Sharp and Dohme made that into a crystalline form, took out that element, made it into a crystal, and then contaminated the world with it. And so doctors don't understand it or know about it, and because doctors treat whatever presents. So if you come with, you know, type 1 diabetes, I'm treating you for that. I don't understand that you got it because mycoplasma weapon was in your body and it destroyed your pancreas, but you know, the beta cells in your pancreas. But in the end, if you don't get rid of that mycoplasma, even though you're treating the diabetes, you still have damage happening in your body. This thing doesn't stop sucking up the cholesterol. And it'll sit there and wait. On the second page, it talks about how it sits there 10, 20, 30 years. So you have a trauma or an accident or a vaccine that doesn't take or high stress. And because it's only a DNA particle of the bacterium, it doesn't have any organelles. So it has to take up the cholesterol in the cell wall. That's why you have nerve damage. All these people taking the shot, my aunt took it after I told her not to. She couldn't walk. She couldn't keep her balance. She was, her blood pressure was dropped. It was because this thing made an antigen complex. So it went, attached to her nerves, said, oh, I'm part of you. Well, the white blood cell said, no, you're not. I'm going to eat you. And that's what happens as this mycoplasma sucks up the cholesterol. It damages the nerve. And then if it makes antigen complexes, the white blood cells look at it as an enemy. And that's why you see people having full organ failure, multi-organ failure, liver failure. Their livers are liquidating, liquefying. Right. Well, that's because your white blood cells are eating them. It doesn't see it as your liver anymore. Now it's bonded with this. It's made an antigen complex, and it's the enemy. And so all this is real. I'm just suggesting for people, don't take any more of these shots. Detox yourself as best you can. Play charcoal, super silver, 30 parts per million. Take it for a week, a teaspoon a couple times a day. It's got a frequency machine in the silver. It's the only one that I know that's like this. And it's what I use on people. If I can't get a frequency machine on them or I don't have my, you know, stuff that I send people, then I tell them super silver. So, yeah, we can do stuff about it, but it is real. There, it does change your DNA if it gets into the right cells. It's made and built to destroy the reproductive system in both the male and the female, and it is going to reduce your life. They've already got the studies out showing people have taken the vaccine already. They're, statistically, their life expectancy is lower. It has been reduced.
Right.
And unless you stop this thing from acting, because remember, it's still sneaking around in your body. Just because you don't have symptoms of this disease or that disease doesn't mean it's not in there sucking up that cholesterol and just right. damaging stuff that you don't know about. And then you find out when, you know, oh, you got your cancer diagnosis. Well, it's been sitting there for 20 years. I used to sell cancer drugs, and I was trained at MD Anderson Hospital down in Texas. And they told us everybody has cancer in their body all the time. If you have a functioning immune system, it's not a problem. It's like AIDS. You didn't get Kaposi's sarcoma unless you had a low immune system, AIDS. Well, what is mycoplasma? It was developed. It is AIDS. And it was literally developed, the special virus cancer program created by the CIA and the NIH to develop a deadly pathogen for which humanity had no natural immunity, that's AIDS, was disguised as a war on cancer, but was actually part of MK Naomi. That's niggers are only momentary individuals. And so they've been doing this. This isn't anything new. It's just that they've added on to what they've been doing to make it, like, for the people that took the shots, Ebola is part of the shots. If they pulse a 18 gigahertz signal a minute and then take a break, do it three times, they're going to release Ebola, and you're going to see all these people with monkeypox, with shingles, with because they have no immune system anymore. So all the shingles, you took chickenpox, all the hepatitis, you know, all the things that are sitting latent in your body that normally your immune system would keep in check, it can't anymore. So you're going to see people bleeding out of sores. Talk about scaring the crap out of people. You guys right. went and locked yourselves up over a cold that nobody died from. And so what are you going to do when you see sores, you know, pox, sores, bleeding all over, and people just, you know, that's what their plan is. That's their next yeah. move.
Well, yeah, we know that all of the adverse event reporting systems are underreporting here and in Europe, Lauren. But the life insurance companies are already confirming a 40% increase already this year, like even into the summer right. here from last year. So why don't you stick on the line?
Lincoln National was up 163%. That's the fifth largest insurance company, Lincoln National, and they said 163% increase in deaths between. I think it was 18 and 45. These are working-age people with whole life policies.
Yes, ma'am. Why don't you stay on the line?
163%, and they paid out $6 billion.
Well, Lauren, why don't you stay on the right? Why don't you stay on the line for this, Lauren? We have Dave in New York back on the line, and perhaps he could hear some feedback from both James in Vancouver as well as, you know, yourself, fellow RBN host, Lauren in Ohio. I'd like to get the two of you together, James and Lauren, again sometime. And Lauren, I've been meaning to want to collaborate more with you on a number of issues. At some point, we should make a point of that. Hello, Dave in New York. You're back.
Yeah. Hello. Well, Lauren's scaring us with all these things the government's doing to us. But I think I find this is very good about this mycoplasma. Now it makes sense. This could be the transfer agent for the genetic code that we're seeing, this SARS-CoV-2 code. It may be being transferred by something other than the virus, perhaps. I don't know.
It's not the corona that's causing you the problem. It's the mycoplasma. And what they did was they took human glycoprotein 41 and 120 out of AIDS. And that's why people are coming up with AIDS.
What they're saying is the spike is causing all these things. The spike, according to Rents and Erica Kahn, is prion inducing. And instead of just in the brain and giving mad cow, as Fleming had suggested from some of the studies monkeys or something, basically what he's saying is that the prions are being built up in the blood, and they keep going, making long chains of these proteins, which are very fibrous and insoluble, and that even the prions could even possibly be excreted from the body and then transferred to other people, kind of like they're worried about with the you're quite familiar with prions more than
I. That's the gain of function. That's what they built. It's doing exactly what they knew it would do. This is it. This is your depopulation, baby. They hit America and Europe, you white people, honey. They just knocked you out of the box. If you don't detox, if you don't get this pathogen out of there, and if you don't nourish your body and stop eating their poison, you're going to die. You will die sooner than you normally would have died. And for people that didn't drop dead when they took the shot, remember, all these strokes, all these heart attacks, all these aneurysms, all these, you know, organ failures, that's what this is. That's what this does. And it's the protein spike has that human glycoprotein 41 and 120. That's what they took out of the weapon that is this paper from 2001. They took the most destructive parts and stuck it in the shot that they're injecting people with. So when they say, oh, I took the shots, but I caught COVID again. You didn't catch COVID again. They injected you with COVID, with mycoplasma, with the weapon, here, with the COVID shot, with the mycoplasma genes in the spike protein that then make your body, your cells actually produce the spike protein that is doing you damage. That's what they've done to you.
Yeah. Hey, James, I wanted to interject something to James. Do you see that in Canada, Mike Rivero reported that 80% of the people that are dying from COVID now are triple vaxxed in Canada, and 90% are vaxxed. So most of the, mostly it's a triple vaxxed people. What kind of vaccination rate, and have you seen that article that he was talking about yet? Probably new.
No, I haven't seen anything about that. I know somebody who's an X-ray technologist in a hospital nearby, and there's an uptick in people getting sicker and sicker in the hospital. She's having to do more X-rays than she normally would. So these percentages all have to be
compared to the percentage of the vaccinated in the population. So, you know, I mean, if they were 90% vaccinated in the population, then it's not surprising, and it's no different. But I suspect maybe that's not the case. Don't know.
Well, a lot of people, I think more than 50% of the people here have got those vaxes. More than 50%.
Yeah, well, that's far less than 80 or 90% that they're observing the problems with. And I don't know how big the sample size is either in that study. So we'll need to look at the study. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Lauren, would you like to add more there?
Well, no. I just wanted to call into James because I wanted to call into James.
Okay.
Great. I just want people to understand it is real. People are dying. You will lose years off of your life if you don't deactivate this. I am all for ivermectin. If you can't get, you know, something, ivermectin will keep it from replicating. When the cell dies, the mycoplasma particle or the weapon that is inside the cell, when the cell dies, it will carry the particle out with it. And that's why they give you tetracycline, low dose, like three times a week. That's what they used to do with people with mycoplasma for like a year or two, depending, because you have to wait till all the cells that have it inside the cell die. That's the only way traditional medicine can get this out of the body, is a year of tetracycline. Now they're using ivermectin. It's the same thing, though. It stops it from replicating, but it doesn't remove it. But at least you should be ready with ivermectin. Go to your pharmacy or horse place and get yourself some ivermectin. And, you know, you start feeling bad, you hit a pea-sized bit of it and just take it. Just hold that sucker still. Be respectful of it. Don't get to the point where you have to go to the doctor or the hospital, because the problem there is, they're now trying to take the World Health Organization direction to not allow you to use ivermectin or anything. That's how they killed my aunt. You know, they just wouldn't give her ivermectin. They wouldn't allow her to have what worked. And they starved her to death, and 2 weeks in the hospital, and she refused to be on a respirator. She refused to, let them do the remdesivir, but they wouldn't feed her, and they wouldn't allow her to have what worked. And so she died. And her niece, I told her she's a, for attorneys, a paralegal. And I said, they're killing your mother. Go in there, just take some ivermectin in your purse, walk in there and give it to her. And she just was she's such a rule follower, she couldn't do it. So that's what I mean. We have to take responsibility and take care of our own business. Stop trusting these people. They're not helping you. Most of the underlings don't know what's going on. When I was a drug rep, I sold a lot of stuff, and I killed a lot of people because I was good at my job. But I didn't understand that what I was doing was hurting people. In my mind, I thought I was helping. So I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. At this point, it's up to each one of us to investigate the matter for ourselves. And it's simple enough with this mycoplasma paper, even though it's 20 years old. When you look at the CIA, the NIH, the CDC, the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, Shai-Ching Lo holds the patent for mycoplasma. Page 87 of an 89-page patent lists every long-term degenerative disease you've ever heard of. I mean, so we're doing it to ourselves. We could stop doing it to ourselves. And I mean, right now, turn it on a dime. We don't need to wait for somebody to get elected or somebody to do something. We need to take the action. Stop taking the shots. Stop listening to these people. Stop doing what they say. Stop giving them money and access to your children. And your life will be better. But anyway, well, yeah, I'll get off. I love what you guys are doing, though. And I love talking to you, James. Even though I didn't talk to you that much, but I just wanted to comment and say,
sorry to hear about your aunt.
Say it again?
Sorry to hear about your aunt. Sorry to hear about your aunt.
Well, no, she's doing great now. She couldn't walk. I went and fixed her up. It's just annoying because she was doing great, and then she did this, and she's a year and a half. She just was torn up. But, nope, she's out of the hospital. She's walking clean in 4 sets of stairs. She has a basement all the way to a 3rd floor. She does her own laundry, does her own because she's 88. So she's back hustling.
Okay.
But she shouldn't have had to go through that, and she's lucky she didn't die. And that's what I mean. A lot of people aren't as lucky as she was. So. But anyway, I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks so much.
Take good care.
Great information. Enjoyed the call and collaboration. Well, last thoughts, I guess, James, we only have about, 2 minutes or so.
Well, we got through a lot of things. I was able to give you some idea of some of the things I do, and I was able to give you some of the ideas that concepts I use when I'm looking at how to treat disease. Mm-hmm. And again, I specialize in degenerative diseases, of which cancer is the worst, of course. So I would like to thank you and RBN for giving me the opportunity to talk about my work, and look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. I'll be sure to have you on my show soon at 12 noon, Monday through Friday, Beyond the Official Narrative. I can forward any email to you if anyone wants to send me anything for you as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. And
a lot of science and technology that's buried out there. So we can talk about more things.
That sounds like an interesting discussion. Look forward to it. And again, folks, James's book, No Such Thing as Terminal. And we'll speak again soon. Have a good evening, James.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again, Richard. Bye now.
Cheers. And thank you to the listeners as well. Please keep supporting RBN, to keep all of this free speech, all of this information coming to you uncensored. Just as our founder, John Stadmiller, had seen fit. Remember, RBN is the canary in the coal mine. We go. You can be sure a lot more, including your First and Second Amendments, will be soon to follow. But that will do it for this installment of the National Intel Report. This is Richard Carey signing off. Stick around for Jeff Bennett. And, of course, we always appreciate Jeff's insights throughout the edge of darkness. Have a good evening, folks. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.